Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Kimmer, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Tonight, this week, I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about? Oh, the wrestling world's on fire again. Great. Well, I'm going to skip over that on this here podcast. I do have made my opinions known elsewhere online, and we're going to call this area going to be a safe space from non-MLW level BS. So let's talk about Reload then, shall we? Let's do that. No Fusion this week. No Fusion ever again, evidently. I don't actually know that. I'm just speculating wildly at this point. But before we get into that, let's talk about the news. It has been announced at Reload that Angry Murder Grandpa Minoru Suzuki is coming back to MLW February 29th, New York City at Intimidation Games. We just know he's coming back and have had no word at the time of this year recording as to who his opponent's going to be. But there is a whole, not the entire roster, obviously, but there is a bunch of people on the roster that I think would make a, really good match for Suzuki. And, I'm not just going to waste time and be like, here you go, here's the list of roster guys. Like, why don't you tell me who you want to see Suzuki battle? Because there's, at least five guys, right off the top of my head I could go into. But yeah, hit me up in the comments, hit me up on socials. Let me know who you think Angry Murder Grandpa should get to murder in the meanwhile. But at Intimidation Games, that is so far the only announcement we have so far. No other matches yet, etc. So let's move along. It looks like at Super Fight, we got a handful of matches to go around the taping. The first of which is a Death Machine rules match. Sami Callihan, the new de facto head of the calling, is set to battle Akira at Super Fight. That is February 3rd at the 2300 Arena. Callihan, fresh off a loss, spoiler alert, to Satoshi Kojima, looks to pick up where his calling brethren have left off, and gonna have ourselves a wild and woolly brawl against two. Callihan at least used to be a deathmatch wrestler. He's still a pretty hardcore guy overall. So I'm expecting this thing to be cray-cray, especially since we have the calling. There's just going to be a bunch of shenanigans involved one way or another. But we will see if Akira can get a leg up on the competition, cement himself in the singles ranks once again, and come one step closer to closing the door in this rivalry. Also announced for Super Fight, we will have a match for the middleweight championship. The original version has been announced during Reload, as Ichiban is getting his match with Azucar Rocky Romero for the MLW middleweight championship. Since that time, it has been announced that, we got a caveat to this here match, and it is going to be 2 out of 3 falls, which is actually the norm in most Lucha Libre, for the championship. What seemed to be, a pretty solid, yes, Ichiban is going to win this, now, for me, comes in with a little bit of doubt, just because, at least in the Americas, to win a title, you have to win the fall via pinfall or submission. Countouts, disqualifications, etc. do not cause the title to change hands. And now we have a 2 out of 3 falls match. So my question is going to end up being, will MLW enforce that both falls have to be clean? Or are they going to use that as a way to keep the belt on Rocky Romero? Say Ichiban gets one fall via disqualification. Will the belt change hands even if Ichiban gets a second fall? Or do they both falls have to come via pinfall or submission? So we got a lot of questions to be answered here, which we're probably not going to hear much of anything until February 3rd. Speaking of February 3rd, at what they're calling, I guess it's not really a Fusion taping now, but it's being announced at Super Fight the Super Fight TV tapings. I guess that's what we're going with. Jake Crist, the Firestarter, the modern man in black, friend of the show, by the way, is making his MLW debut, challenging for the National Openweight Championship against Ricky Shane Page. Crist has been all over the country, former Impact Wrestling X Division champion. He is, at least at this moment, the Pro Wrestling Revolver world champion. He's had success all around the world, tag team, singles, has gone viral indirectly because of his treatment of the IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Championship. So this is a big get for MLW, I think. We'll see if this is a one-shot deal or a one-taping deal, or if he gets to, you know, get to play along with it a little bit. But as I said, he's a Revolver champion. He's tight with Sami Callihan, OI4K, by the way. So I don't suspect this will be the last time we see Crist. The real question is going to be, is he going to take the National Openweight Championship from Ricky Shane Page? And then a side note on this. As much as I love Jake Crist, he hasn't done anything in MLW to earn a title shot. And it just, at a certain level, kind of annoys me that folks get title opportunities without putting in the work in company. Don't get me wrong, I am not putting down Jake Crist, his in-ring ability. He is, you know, one of the most underrated guys around nowadays. But, you know, just to walk in and Jerry Lynn himself a title, like, that doesn't entirely sit right with me. Like, they did this with, like, Jimmy Lloyd, where, like, he hadn't won any matches and got himself a title shot. Jake Crist just gets to walk in the door and get a title shot. Like, hey, man, like, I'm winless in MLW. Can I have a title shot? Court Bauer, man, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You know, I qualify for a couple of the titles. I'll gladly take a title opportunity. I'll take a National Openweight Championship shot just because I am, you know, and a national open weight, as in my weight's open. Constantly expanding is what it's doing. But that's beside the point. The point is like, you know, if anyone can walk in and get a title shot, you know, where's the fun in that? Why is everyone entitled to these things? I want to put my hat a name in the hat too. Like, I want an MLW championship shot. Dude, I even got history with the one called Manders. I'll find a tag team partner, maybe. I'll eat a lariat and lose, but at least I got a title shot out of the deal. That ups my standing in other independents, I think. I think that's how that works in the business. Jake Crist is coming. It's going to be great, but I'm just salty because he gets a title match and hasn't done anything really within MLW to warrant a title opportunity over, say, I don't know, like, okay, they haven't won either. But I was going to say, like, the main event, why haven't they gotten a tag team shot? At least they've been on the roster. Where's Wasted Youth's title opportunity? They're winning matches, you know, all that sort of good stuff. But, you know, never mind that. Carry on. So the card is shaping up to be something fun anyway. The main card is going to be headlined by Alex Kane defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Satoshi Kojima. We have special luchador action as Místico takes on Averno, presented by Selena De La Renta. Yuji Nagata comes in as part of the New Japan partnership. He is battling Jacob Fatu. Of course, we have the Death Machine rules, Sami Callihan versus Akira. Announced they, for a Haas fight, Davey Boy Smith Jr. makes his return to the promotion from his medical issues to take on the one called Manders. And, of course, the 2 out of 3 falls for the MLW Middleweight Championship, Rocky Romero versus Ichiban. And then, of course, they've also announced for the BN Sports TV tapings, Ricky Shane Page versus Jake Crist, just ranted on incoherently about now, and Filthy Tom Lawler taking on the Second Gear Crew's Matthew Justice. So, I think that is about all the news for this week. Let's kick it over to Reload and see what happened this past weekend, shall we? But first, grab yourself an energy drink or whatever it is. I don't know. go dig in the descriptor. Go get yourself some Confusion merch. Yeah, we got some cool t-shirts going on. Get some stickers or something while we're at it, too. Just to shake it up a little bit. In the meanwhile, catch you all in a minute. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, it is time to remix, reverse, and even reload it. MLW Reload special event. Let's talk about it right diddy now. We're going to start off the show with Sessions with Saint Laurent with Alex Kane. It was MSL that got Kane signed. He wants a merger with the Beaumayers to make like a super group. Unfortunately, that is not on Beaumayer. Not going to happen. Poor MSL. We get our opening fight package, and we are welcomed to the show by Joe Dombrowski and Matt. Hey, I can say whatever I want, no matter how insipid and not terribly tonal. Because it's kayfabe, brother, Striker. We are going to go right into our first match. The featherweights are in action. Notorious Mimi takes on WTF Federet, the only one, by the way, Zeta Steel. It should be noted that in this match, both competitors are heels, so we will see how that affects how the matchup is going to be had. And spoiler alert, it was kind of clunky. We start the show with the trading of strikes and roll-ups. Zeta is sent into the ropes. It's an offensive maneuver. You don't see that terribly much nowadays. And really, it needs to make a comeback because most companies either A, use legit ropes, or B, steel cables. Like, no matter what, like, people try to tell you that it's fake, like, ropes aren't bungee wire. They're metal cables for the most part. And so, like, yeah, that hurts when you do it. Like, Irish rips really shouldn't be a thing, but I get it. Whatever, that's part of the show. But they trade off offense, finally get a double down with a double hair pull face buster. Battle with Zeta wins. She tries to go for a pinfall with the foot on the ropes. Mimi misses a kick, like, flat out whiffs it, like, so much so that, like, they redo the spot, only with Zeta in the corner, and then gets the big kick to the face. We get another pin, this time with Mimi pulling the tights, only gets two off of that. Mimi goes off to the top rope. Zeta cuts her off, hits the Tomokaze, aka the I'm Prettier, to get the three. Just before we get into the next part of the segment, the match was kind of clunky. It was relatively short. It was what it was. It got the fan, it showed the tone for the night. Kind of clunky. But really, overall, outside of just the general clunkiness, like, there wasn't anything inherently wrong with this match. I did question the spin kick spot, whether that was supposed to be, or if there was a lack of communication on it, because Zeta was nowhere near where that kick was. So they redid it with Zeta in the corner. But, you know, featherweights starting off the party, and also, though to credit to the show, the featherweights had a prominent showing in this show as well, with three matchups plus an intergender match as well. However, we're not done with Zeta. Joe Dombrowski goes to stop her and Saint Laurent to ask a question or two, and he doesn't do it right, so he has to redo the introduction. Then MSL runs down the crowd in addition to Joe. Zeta basically throws out that Court Bauer could do better. And, well, let's face it, there's a handful of things I think Court Bauer could do a bit better on. Has nothing to do with giving Zeta a title match, though. However, she is referred to the fact that she is not in contention for the featherweight championship. MSL is like, eh, maybe we should talk about this backstage instead of airing all of our dirty laundry out here in the public. So I guess that's fair enough as well. So they wander off to the back. We get a hype video for the debut of Místico. He is showing up at Super Fight to take on hated rival Averno from Selena De La Renta's Promociones Dorada. Speaking of which, she's wandering the hallway with the Jinai Kai. We get some Lucha goons in the background stalking her while we get the notification that Minoru Suzuki, Angry Murder Grandpa, is coming back to MLW. He will be at Intimidation Games. For our second match of the evening, it is Memphis Style Intergender with Steph DeLander taking on Good Brother, number three, baby, number three, number three. We get a promo from Good Brother, number three, before the show. He is looking to get a fight. Well, looks like he's going to get one because the match has already been announced, and we're having it right now. Anyway, so we start the match off with a handshake, a kiss, and a roll-up by two by Steph DeLander. We fight outside. Good Brother number three is sent into the guardrail. However, Steph hits the ring post for her efforts. We slow things down because Good Brother number three gets the mic. We are going to have a lap dance because it implied Steph was going to start the party with a lap dance, and there's like, if anyone's going to do a lap dance, it's going to be Good Brother number three. So he starts the party off. He's gyrating because this is professional wrestling. It's too hot. He takes his shirt off. The divorce rates in Philly skyrocket as an outcome of this here dance. However, he gets to eat a chair for those efforts, because just, you know, too sexy, man. Throat chop, chair's wrapped around the head, and a secondary chair shot only gets two, though. Steph spears Good Brother through a door, only gets two. Broski Boot is interrupted, though, by a thrown chair to the face. Good Brother number three has a chair. He does the Flair Michaels, I love you, I'm sorry, but he's low blowed before he can hit the chair shot. Steph gets on the mic and says, like, this is not who we are. Like, we are better than this. Good Brother gets the mic. He agrees. He proposes to Steph DeLander. Love at first sight, because Mance masked Good Brother number three loves her. He doesn't have a ring, but he's got a beer, and that's a cold one is just as good as a ring, really. They pop the top. However, Good Brother hits an eye poke, because he's learned from the best on that one. Eye poke, roll up, 1, 2, 3. A match is over. Good Brother number three is your winner. I'm going to throw out there that this match won't be for everyone, because one, intergender, two, the hardcore brawling with the intergender, and just three, just the general amount of shtick that's involved with this. However, I was thoroughly entertained by it, and since I'm the one with the microphone, that's really all that matters. So I loved it. I'm down for it. Like, it needed kind of a pickup from some of the last batch of things that were popping up on my TV screen that I had to think about for MLW. And this is a great way for my brain box to cleanse its palate. Some good old-fashioned family entertainment. If your family is from down south and probably methed up. Anyway, I enjoyed the match. That's the important thing. Following this here match, we get a promo from the new Dream Team. I don't think that's a real name, but Tom Lawler, Josh Bishop, that is what Tom Lawler's referring to himself as anyway. Better than Jordan, better than Bird, better than Magic Johnson, better than all those things that were previously called the Dream Team. They take turns saying tell them, because this is the 1980s, and that's how you cut a promo, brother, is you slap your partner in the chest and say tell them, insert name here. And they just kind of went back and forth like you're gonna find out what we do, tell them, Tom, chop. Oh, but you're gonna be in for it when you find out what we're gonna do, tell them, Josh, chop. And it was hilarious. I loved that too, by the way. I can't go on enough about how much I love Tom Lawler, and this pairing with Josh Bishop is gold. I just wish they'd actually win some matches. Like, they are too awesome to be jobbers. But then again, I say the same thing about the main event, and, well, they're jobbing. Anywho, tirades aside, we have an Akira promo. He is challenging Sami Callihan for what Callihan did at the last big event, so where Callihan joined the calling and put Kira down. Speaking of calling adjacent things, hey, it's Jimmy Lloyd. Jimmy Lloyd's still with us. He is taking on Ichiban. We do at some point get Selena De La Renta and Jesus Rodriguez out to, stack the odds against Ichiban because they're feuding. Ichiban wants the middleweight championship held by Rocky Romero, a member of Promotion Ristorada. So anyway, the match starts off. Storyline aside, the match starts off. Ichiban is breaking the lucha, which seems to, stumble Jimmy Lloyd. Gets a couple of dives. The one punches in the corner. This is when Selena and Jesus comes out, which this distraction allows Jimmy Lloyd to take over, albeit very briefly, before Jesus Rodriguez cheap shots Ichiban. Lloyd hits a slingshot Falcon Arrow, which should be three if done correctly, but he didn't, so that is only two. Stunner, missile dropkick by Ichiban. Code 1, the variation of the code red, only gets a 2 count, though. Lloyd goes outside, goes for a suicide dive, and Lloyd, in an impressive feat of strength, I will give him this, catches Ichiban. It catches him fluidly, too. Like, it wasn't like an, oops, I'm going to stumble around like because I couldn't really do this. Like, no, he just flat out caught him on his shoulders. Then follows it up with the Death Valley driver on the floor. Jimmy spends like 15 minutes setting up a ladder bridge and setting up a ladder inside the ring. Sets Ichiban on the ladder. He's going up. Ichiban gets up and tries to climb the ladder. Jesus runs interference but kicks off into the ladder bridge for his efforts. We get kind of a springboard jump off the middle rope with Ichiban Kai. It's academic at this point. Your winner, Ichiban. This probably means that Jimmy Lloyd, since he lost the match, is probably going to get another openweight championship shot or something of the like, because that's what happens with Jimmy Lloyd and matches. Loses a match, gets a title shot for no gosh darn reason. Anywho, Ichiban and Selena get into it from the ring to the ringside, and Selena finally says, fine, you want it so bad, get your shot at the middleweight championship. So at Super Fight, it is going to be Rocky Romero taking on Ichiban for the MLW Middleweight Championship. Up next, we have a Sammy Callahan hype video reminding us of all the gross and hardcore stuff he's done in his last few stints in MLW. He will be in our main event tonight taking on Satoshi Kojima. But first, we have Joshi action as Moku Miyamoto takes on Nao Kakuta. So we get some respect going on here. Feeling out process. Mocha hits a misses a big karate chop. Like, she's measuring it. Takes like 15 minutes to measure it. This allows Nao to take over for a bit. Working over Mocha by her hair, primarily. Mocha does fire up and hits her big karate chop. Only gets 2 out of it. Still took like 10 minutes to set up for that as well. Nao counters a submission attempt 4-2. Gets off the ropes off of the kneeling abdominal stress. So Mocha, does roll back into things, mounts up like a kneeling abdominal stretch kind of maneuver. I was going to call it like a variation of the Rings of Saturn, but it's really not quite that either. So the best way to kind of call it is a kneeling abdominal stretch. So Nao gets off of the ropes of that. She fights back and hits a fireman's carry stunner. Only gets 2, and that gets it. That is 3. It was a quick little exhibition match between the Joshis. We did have some awkward pacing for that, and I'm not sure if it's just, lack of working together or what with that. And I wasn't a big fan of, like, the measured karate chops, because I feel, that's like, for me, that's like on par with a Garvin stomp. Like, if there's enough time for you to wander around aimlessly stomping on a guy, you probably have enough time to pin him. And, I feel to a lesser extent the same way with, some top rope moves, too. If you can spend, like, 30 minutes adjusting yourself to hit the perfect elbow, you probably could have pinned that person or something of the like. So those karate chops were different. And I'll admit, I have not done my research on the Joshis. So, this could be just her thing, or I'm not sure what, but, yeah, just the whole pause karate chop wasn't it for me. That being said, though, otherwise, like, it was a fine enough match, showing the continued partnership with MLW and TWJP. I'm blanking out here. on air. That's great, Rob. Good job. Most professional podcaster. Anyway, well, let's just cleanse our palate. Hey, Love Doug. There's a Love Doug. He's here tonight. He comes to the ring. He talks about how brave Mocha was in her match going down in defeat. He's wondering if the crowd thinks he should be brave too. And I guess by being brave, it means asking people out on a date. I mean, I guess that, okay, let's be realistic. That does kind of take a little bit of bravery for most folk. But yeah. So Doug gets a date with Mocha, or as, you know, Don put it, she's getting herself a free meal before she goes back to Japan. So, hey, whatever. Love Doug gets a date. Mocha gets a free meal out of the deal, hopefully. Backstage, Zeta notices her stuff is missing and has been rifled through. She's following the trail of her clothing, leading to a notorious Brett Ryan Goslin in the bathroom with Zeta stuff, like trying on, I don't know, like her curling iron, which his hair isn't long enough to curl, but whatever, man. So like she's freaking out, rightfully so, because some dude's rifling through her stuff. Brett's like, oh no, I've been caught. But like, dude, you got really good taste. Like, it's been like forever. Like, I don't think I've ever seen this like Chanel Sparkle body spray in person. And they just became BFFs over that. So they're going shopping. Because that is the natural response to someone going through your stuff, is to go shopping with them. Anywho, so yeah, let's have another match, I guess, because we're just stretching logic to its illogical conclusions at this point. Featherweights are back in action. Tiara James taking on Delmi Exo. I didn't do this stat check on this, but Joe is really hammering home the point that Tiara's never been pinned, and I don't think that's correct. I'm pretty sure she got pinned by Becca at some point. But don't hold me to that. I didn't do my stats. Or hold me to that and hit me up in the comment sections and whatever. Call me an idiot, because Lord knows I deserve it. Anywho, so there is an extended feeling out process on that. We get that Tiara taking advantage of some offense on there, like showing up the power game a wee bit, but really it's all for naught, because there's a flash roll up by Delmi to end it. Just out of nowhere. Like, this was almost, if Delmi got any offense in whatsoever, like I would have called it a squash, but it was the exact opposite of a squash, because Delmi was getting squashed for the most part, and then Tiara just got rolled up right next to the ropes too. She probably could have grabbed a rope. So, you know, not a great look for Tiara James on that one. But she's just going like, okay, I'm leaving. And Delmi gets the mic. She calls out Selena De La Renta and Jhenny Kai, noting that she wants her belt back. Selena and Kai come out, Kai lays down the challenge, basically. It's like, fight me later and I'll end your career, or we can just go ahead and fight right now. And before we get like our proper answer, Zeta and MSL come out. Zeta insults everybody, causing a brawl. As the brawl like winds down, security and refs are just leading everyone away. Lucha Goons stop Delmi on the way to the ring and hand her a key and a cell phone. So things are getting interesting off that. So our Little Nothing match has led to some storyline progression with Lucha Goons. So are we getting closer to the return of Cesar Duran? It certainly looks like it, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. We get a video for The Calling. Both members are running down their respective future opponents. Ricky Shane Page is running down Akira. Sami Callihan puts down Satoshi Kojima. Up next, it is Alex Kane taking on WTF, Tom Lawler, Josh Bishop. Kane starts off with a belly-to-belly to Lawler, steals his headband. This offense doesn't last for terribly long. We get a lot of tandem offense from the WTF crew. Big meaty man offense, primarily by Bishop, to keep Kane on the ground. Repeated elbow drops. Lawler hits a Bronco Buster. Holiday comes into Richard Holiday, of all people, runs into run interference, but he is cut off, leading to the loss for WTF. And yeah, there's obviously more to this match, but I don't feel like talking about fast food breakfast sandwiches. So what's more important is that WTF lost another higher profile match. And I know this isn't like a pay-per-view match or like the end of a feud ender kind of match, but like WTF really needs to do something. And creative needs to do something for them. Like, we can't keep talking about corporate takeover and like putting over a talent if they don't win matches, and especially higher profile matches. You know, WTF like is really coasting basically on the names of who's involved, especially now that Matt Cardona is no longer in the picture. And it makes me sad because I think this pairing of Tom Lawler and Josh Bishop is a lot of fun. Like, and like, outside of like any feelings I have about Saint Laurent chewing the scenery, like, I actually think the group is a lot of fun, but they just don't have the matches to back it up. And when, you know, you get placed in these higher profile matches, like, you need a reason to deserve it outside of like, well, I'm just going to be a jerk to the right people, and then boom, we have match. Like, there was really no reason for Alex Kane to keep going after these folks. Like, he's just dominated them at, like, every turn. Like, he's taken out all of their top guys. Like, why would he even bother? Like, yes, he's a fight champion. Yes, he may want some measures of revenge, but, like, really, like, let the rest of his team fight his own battles that, like, actually don't need to happen anymore, because it's been, like, that long ago since those things happened. But literally, he's beaten Tom Lawler. He has beaten Alex Hammerstone. He's beaten Richard Holiday. He's beaten Matt Cardona. So, like, those are four folk he has put down. Just Kane alone. And, like, we're not talking about, like, the failures against the Second Gear crew and anything else like that. Like, there's just no stake to the sizzle that is WTF, and they really needed to kind of like turn things around if we're going to take them seriously in the ring. And maybe we're not supposed to be taking them seriously, but if that's the case, then they need to stop getting in the ring with the world champion, because that's just going to bring Alex Kane down as far as I'm concerned. Again, which I will phrase this positively, like, which makes me sad because I am thoroughly entertained by this group, and on paper they have like the star power to be a force in the company. But they're not. Facts. Just, like, yeah. Anywho, I will quit rattling on about that because, dudes, Bread Club is our main event. Satoshi Kojima takes on Sami Callihan. Oh, wait, though. Something's coming over the headphones. Oh, we got a brawl backstage between the Second Gear crew and WTF. I guess the one called Manders is doing double duty last night because he's in Philly and he's in Bluegrass, Iowa, of all places. I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, so a bunch of referees get taken out. So yay. Like, as far as I'm concerned, like, that's a good showing, because that is how you deal with bias, ladies and gentlemen, is you knock it on the floor. Bias wants to get in your face, you just shove it down, man. Like, take the fine with it. Do it. Anyway. So yeah, fun times with the Second Gear crew and WTF. In the meanwhile, we do have the number one contender, Satoshi Kojima. He is battling Sami Callihan, who's taken offense to Kojima having the number one contendership. Before Kojima can even make it to the ring, though, Sami attacks from behind, paper cuts to the webbing of the fingers and the mouth of Kojima. We finally get a bell ring, and Kojima just hits a quick lariat, kind of out of nowhere. We go outside the ring, and there's machine gun chops outside by Kojima, but he is sucker punched and sent into the barricade by Callihan. Inside the ring, we get various finger and thumb pulls by Callihan. And I will say, like, outside of some of the stuff, like, regarding Callihan, like, commentary was actually doing a pretty good job of, like, talking about putting over this match and the behavior as to why like certain things go on. Like, actually Matt Stryker like had a good talk about like finger pulls and finger submissions and how it's illegal in Greco-Roman wrestling, one of the few things that's illegal in Greco-Roman wrestling, and like I thought that was rather fascinating. Like, so like he could actually be a good commentator when he's not being entirely tone deaf and calling it kayfabe, brother. Anyway, ranting aside, back to this match. Sami is literally clawing at Kojima at this point, just raking his fingernails over his chest and the top of his head. Kojima does get to come back with some machine gun chops, but he's cut off going to the top rope. They're spitting at each other now because the match isn't just gross enough at this point. With all the spitting, Kojima fires up a batch of rapid forearms and a DDT. Sami tries a couple of lariats of his own, but Kojima no-sells it and hits a cutter for his efforts. Sami flips off Kojima, and Kojima just hits him with a lariat, only gets two. Second lariat attempt, though, that is enough to put down Sami Callihan to get the three count. After the match, Kojima gets the mic. He ate bread this morning. He will eat bread again. Thank you all. This match, you know, worthy main event. Do they really like played up like how like disgusting of a wrestler Callihan is? Like, and really, even for me, like, I'm kind of a fan of the guy, but like some of that stuff was just like it just went to the well too many times. And just like, I get it. You like to spit. You like to do spit based offense, but like, it's a law of diminishing returns. You know, you could do it once, it's shocking. You do it twice, it is slightly less shocking. And like, once you do it like the seventh or eighth time, like, it's just annoying at this point. Like, it's like almost disrespectful as a fan. Though I did get like entertained by like the spit off between when they started spitting at each other, like that popped me a little bit. But otherwise, like, we get it. You can hawk loogies pretty darn good, man. But barring that, you know, it was, you know, a good match. Once again, to like really kind of establish the character of Sami Callihan being like the grimiest mob boss around. And Kojima showing that he has still got it, that he is worthy of the number one contendership. But speaking of this here number one contendership, we have a words escape me now, because that's what I do here on this podcast. Press conference. There's the phrase I am looking for. With Alex Kane and the Beaumayers, he has no love for bread, no love for carbs. I don't believe that at all. But that being said, he is going to take Satoshi Kojima and put him down like old Yeller. Maybe it'll ruin the relationship with New Japan, or maybe not. He doesn't really care. Maybe it'll make them mad enough that it'll send him more competition for him to put down, because Beaumayer is for the people, and that is on Beaumayer. 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 But besides that, as we are going to our final like hype video for Super Fight, we get a little blip. Split-second blip that I had to come back because I thought I was hallucinating again. But we saw the Black Flag of Contra flash across the screen one time before the end of the show. And so I am morbidly curious what's going on with that. Obviously, Contra played a big part in the pandemic and pre-pandemic era of MLW, with Jacob Fatu kind of unofficially leading the charge for a bit, at least physically leading the charge as the World Heavyweight Championship. But, you know, they kind of were sent away, kind of one by one. Like, Gotch disappeared. Akira Kwan was kind of a thing, but he didn't do much for the most part. Joseph Samael, the mouthpiece, kind of like disappeared too. And then we had a big falling out between Jacob Fatu and Mads Kruger, as he was known in that life. Finally, ending with Mads Kruger getting like his face blown up. We did see him get a new mask, but nothing ever came from it. We just assume he ran away to lick his wounds. So I'm curious to see what's going on here too. We're getting like this weird ghosts of MLW's past, with Promociones Dorada coming back. We're getting the hints of Cesar Duran's return, and with the just flat out like the advertising of Azteca Lucha making a return on that. Now we have the Black Flag of Contra. So I'm curious to see what's going on here, especially because like a recent tweet involving Yuji Nagata, as I put over last week, that basically Fatu called this a curtain call. So I'm now wondering if instead of saying, hey, I'm out of here, if this is kind of a curtain call for the Fatu that wasn't getting, like, he was getting the verbal respect, but he wasn't getting his accolades in wins, and this is a way for him to kind of get his edge back that he has lost since the demise of Contra. But hey, man, We shall see. So we're getting a cliffhanger, and that's something like I will say, like, regardless, like, I felt like I didn't feel like this card like was the best card. I think they would have actually benefited more by scrapping this as an event by itself and making it a fusion. But they did a good job, I will say, at this. And as far as I know, they haven't really followed up on it. But with the whole Contra Flag thing, like, leaving enough questions that we do want to tune in next time, which will be in 2 weeks at Super Fight. So I'm curious to see what will happen there, which I think at a certain level, especially since this is free on YouTube and BN, I'll kind of forgive the lackluster card just to be like, okay, well, what's coming up next? What are we going to do here? What does this mean? And that is how we shall end things for this here review. Existential questions. What do things mean? Who am I? What is Box happening? Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the best ways to support this here podcast. Continue to ask those questions, and maybe we'll have answers when I see you guys next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at TheNovaOfCast, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/Casanova, where for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast Store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.